it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, check this out. Try this on for size. 888-957-9570. Mina Kimes on ESPN, and she was on This Is Football with Kevin Clark. And the question kind of went to the Niners and Mac Jones and expectations for this weekend, and here's her answer.
I question whether or not the situation around Mac Jones is good enough to enable this offense to keep rolling. We know Kittle's out. Watching them week one against Seattle, the offensive line, to me, had a lot of problems. Brock Purdy was under pressure a lot. Admittedly, again, like I said, against a very, very good defense. The run game looked just okay with McCaffrey back. And of course, you know, you don't have Brandon Ayuk. Ricky Pearsall looked good. But this is not like Mac Jones, you know, getting into the Ferrari and getting given the keys. If this was a couple of years ago, I would feel very different about him being slotted into this. And of course, Kyle Shanahan's, you know, one of the best play callers in the business. But this is not a great situation that he is stepping into. So I'm pretty skeptical of this Niners offense with him.
My bad on that one. That was actually on the Rich Eisen show, but okay. Whatever. Yep. It is yep. Mina Kimes. And the question
she's
is,
great.
Yeah, the question is what it was. And I'm kind of with her. And so again, this is not me telling you that the Niners won't win. This is not me telling you that that everything's about to fall apart. I'm going into this game with a much more like, boy, I'd love to see it. But I'm not going to swagger into my seat at the sports bar with this like, we about to see it. I don't know. I don't know where that's from. Like, this is a very haggard group right now. It's a very haggard group.
How so? I mean, you're down.
How so?
You're down George Kittle.
You're down your QB.
We don't know if you're going to be without Juwan Jennings. It's not a haggard group. You're down your QB. Okay. Outside of that, you may, and you've
and
been
George
down
Kittle.
Ayuk.
And George Kittle.
Fine. You're down
and,
your tight end.
And possibly and Juwan.
Let's not talk about possibly because
Trent.
we don't know about any of the possibilities. So if you're going to talk about haggard group,
but even
let's be fair about what that
I
group
will.
Is.
Let me finish. If they're playing, they're still not playing at 100%.
No
they're
one is.
They're clearly hurt. No, that's not true. It's
right.
Week two. It's week two. Some of them are playing at 100%.
Sure.
I stand by that statement. This is a haggard group.
Yeah, I think haggard
mean,
is...
No Purdy and no Kittle alone is a haggard group.
It's a different group, certainly,
yeah.
And it's not... For me, a haggard group, you're talking about multiple guys, more than just two who are out, and
multiple
whatever.
Is two.
Okay, sure.
And they're both great
Yeah, and you
players.
Can call it a haggard group all you want.
I will.
When they win on Sunday, you'll come in on Monday,
and be
you'll
impressed.
You'll sing a different tune.
No, I won't.
About
I'll be impressed.
The, quote, haggard group,
no,
and there's a reason
Dibs.
Why they're still favored against New Orleans, because New Orleans is not a very good team. So whether or not this group is haggard or not, Mac Jones has been there for 6 months, and you've got Christian McCaffrey, who could be, likely might be a Hall of Famer. Trent Williams is. Fred Warner will be. You've got a great defense through 1 week.
All right.
The group is not haggard.
All right,
you're down two starters,
okay,
so fine.
Fine. I don't know why that word bothers you so much. That's how I see it. I see losing two of your, let's be real, however you want to rank them.
Two, your most, four,
two
most,
of your
four most
four
important
five
people.
Most important
Absolutely.
Players. That's a haggard group. Two of your next, probably also on the list of, at least, certainly Trent is also in your top five. Juwan's in your top seven, and they are at least limping, like they're not at 100%. I'm very, very comfortable with that word. To hear you talk, the Niners should win by double digits.
No,
are
no one said double digits.
Well, no, are they going to roll?
Win the game. No, who cares if they roll?
I care.
I don't really care if they roll or not until we get to ride the Dibber, and I'll give you my pick. And either I'm going to take the Saints and the 3.5, or I'm going to think, you know what? The Niners will win by 4 or more. I don't think that it's about rolling. It's about doing enough complimentary football to win the game.
Sure.
And for Kyle Shanahan,
nobody said otherwise.
When they run the ball 30 or more times, They are 47-7 in his tenure.
And remember, so, last week was one of those weeks.
Where they ran it 30 or more times, and they won the game.
And with 3 minutes to go, they were down and won the game on what was a fortunate
Well, that's
play.
Because they had a kicker that nobody trusted.
In part,
and
yes.
they left 6 points on the table.
In part,
because
yes.
one was blocked and one was doinked, and so now
that.
You don't have that problem. You get the fourth most accurate kicker in NFL history.
But you wouldn't suggest that the Niners looked great last week. You wouldn't do that.
I mean, in totality, how did the Niners look? That was probably a C-plus effort, B-minus yeah. overall. Special teams was a disaster.
I guess
the defense
yeah.
was patently good. The run game was good enough. Brock Purdy was shaky, but he made the plays that needed yeah. to be made. And ultimately, it's not about how you look. It's about how you do on the scoreboard.
Well,
and the
course.
Way they finished. And the throw to Pearsall for 45 yards to set up the final push into the end zone, that to me counts for more than, you know, little mistakes here and there.
Well, of course it does in the end, but to say that they, like, you know, well, they rolled or whatever, like they were very
they didn't roll,
they
no.
were very fortunate to come out with a victory. I don't know why you would say I would come in Monday and sing a different tune. There's no tune that's being sung. I'm not telling you, I'm not predicting a loss. I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to sing on Monday if they won. Wow, I'm impressed. How the hell is this team 2-0 with everything that they've faced? I will be very impressed, and you're not going to take that from me. This is
I don't got, need to take it from you.
You have to, in my opinion, you have to acknowledge that this is not the 49ers as advertised. Yet I hear a lot of people still thinking that they will be based on either habit or our perception of the Saints, which is built on very little information so far, and just kind of our normal fandom, which in some way sort of comes with its own level of cockiness or confidence or whatever. And so I don't have an issue with any of this. I'm simply giving you my perspective, which is I am going to be... The stuff that they're facing is hard. This is hard to do. Mac Jones has never, he's in the system. He's never played in this system. And when
he did in the preseason.
Well, but
and,
that's
you know,
not,
the preseason matters a lot.
No. It really
did for Jake Moody.
Don't go there.
I just did.
It's different. And I've already explained that 1,000 times. The bottom line is when the lights come on, and we've all learned this over and over, when the lights come on for real games, it's a different speed and different things happen and it gets harder. And you don't know what the defense is throwing at you and all of those things. So that's all. I am ready for a fight this Sunday, and I think it's going to be very hard. And if the 49ers, 2 weeks into the season, have experienced the list that I have just said, which starts with an injured quarterback, an injured Hall of Fame tight end, and a quarterback who played the first game, half of it injured, trailing with 3 minutes to go, a kicker missing kicks, all of the things they've experienced, if they come out of that 2-0 on the road with one of them in division, it's a rabbit out of hat. It's awesome. It's amazing. And I hope everybody props them up for the achievement that that will be, because it is incredibly hard. And I don't want to hear the Saints suck, because the Niners are completely, they're a mess. They are.
Yeah, they're not a mess.
They are, I mean, without so many of the things that they do.
They've got every single defensive player up and healthy in a defense that was patently mostly good. They gave up only 4 explosive plays, and in general, they kept Seattle at bay. And you could say Seattle's offense is not very good. You might be right. New Orleans' offense is probably worse. So you go into New Orleans, you win into Seattle, the defense should be able to carry the day. The defense should be able to hold New Orleans to a spot where,
okay,
even with a backup quarterback, you've got an upgraded kicker. We got a kicker now who basically doesn't miss.
We think.
Well, I mean, we all clamored for Moody to be gone.
We did.
And he's gone. And so
I'm
now
happy.
You have the fourth most accurate kicker in history and a guy who doesn't really miss that often inside of 50.
Listen.
So if you're going to be in a game that's going to be tight and low scoring, and I think that this one will be, you have an upgrade at kicker, you have a downgrade at tight end, and a downgrade at quarterback. The defense should be as good, if not better. These guys are not playing their first game anymore.
I don't think we're actually all that far off. I'm just going to take one word that you keep using, and I'm going to switch it. You keep using the word should, and I'm going to use the word hope. I hope all of those things happen.
Well, I hope so, too.
I don't do should when you've got Jake Tonjes and Mac Jones as key people on your team who you've never relied on, you've never seen play in this system. Never, never, never. Like, this is not a Niner team we've ever seen before. I would hope you could at least agree with that. We have never
You've never seen Mac Jones as a quarterback in a regular season.
I don't know.
Spencer Rattler's never won a game in seven starts in the NFL.
Right. I'm not even really making it about the Saints. And I know you are, and that's fine.
That's who you're playing.
They're an NFL team. And I think the situation the Niners are in, whoever they beat, if they beat anyone this weekend, I'll be impressed. I think it's very, very hard. I'm not here to tell you they can't do it. I hope they can do it. I would lean towards maybe, probably they would do it. I choose to not use the word should. I don't know, because should comes from expectations. And I told you this at the beginning of the week. I've got none. Jermaine Wiggins, who is a former Patriot and then works at WEI, therefore was a part of the whole Mac Jones experience for a few years. Listen to what he said about Purdy to Mac.
I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I've seen him play and whatever, and I'm still a little bit skeptical. Is he worth that type of money? But I would say it's a massive drop off, right? Because if you look at the success, and you know, you can't knock the kid Brock Purdy. You look at the success that he's had, and now you look at Mac Jones, and you're going from Brock Purdy to Mac Jones. It's a major, major drop off. So I mean, I understand the you know, being optimistic and having that because of Shanahan. But, you know, here you're getting a guy that hasn't really shown much success in the NFL. And if you're a team like San Francisco, like in New England, our expectations are low. Like, if we can win 7 or 8 games, maybe 9, great. But I know out there in Frisco, I know you guys are out there looking at it like, shoot, you know, we're expecting big things. So I it's going to be interesting to see how Shanahan is able to get things going with Mac Jones at quarterback.
Yeah, I
agree. He's from New England?
Yeah, played around Mac Jones.
Gotcha.
and covered Mac Jones.
Did he play with Mac Jones on those teams, or was he a little bit?
I think he was already retired.
Okay.
But he's a former Patriot who covers the Patriots now.
Gotcha.
Played with the Patriots.
Why does that sound so sarcastic?
It's in the
2000s. Sarcasm, it's context, because he starts out with, I don't know much about Brock Purdy.
Right.
I don't know if he's worth that money. And then he goes in on Mac Jones.
Right.
And it felt to me very pointed and personal about what Mac Jones did as a Patriot, what he saw. And that was during a time when the Patriots went from the greatest thing in the history of the league, rookie year he goes to the playoffs, the next 2 years he's not very good with different coordinators.
Greatest
and
thing in the history of the league? Who said
the
that?
The Patriots. I'm saying that.
The Patriots.
I'm Dan Dibley.
The team.
Yes. And I'm saying that about the Patriots.
They were not that his rookie year at all.
No, they were a playoff team.
Yeah.
And then after that, he had a new coordinator, and they weren't good. And after that, he had a new coordinator, and they were not very good. So I do think that this man's comments are colored by what he saw from the demise of New England. That's what I think.
Why would that?
Because if he played for the Patriots, I'm not dismissing it. I'm contextualizing it, because he's saying off the top, I don't know much about Brock Purdy. I don't know if he's worth that much money, but it's a huge drop off. And I wonder.
Yeah, that's his way of saying he doesn't think Mac Jones is very good at football.
Right.
Yeah.
Then he should just say that. And I think that he's saying that because of what the Patriots became when Mac Jones was the quarterback.
I think he's saying that because that's what he saw with his eyes.
Sure. And I don't agree with him about Mac Jones.
Okay.
And when he starts off with, I don't know much about Brock Purdy, I don't know if he's worth that much money. So we're going to compare an unknown versus something that you totally dislike.
I guess I'm confused at why you think that him disliking Mac Jones comes from some sort of different place other than just he's an analyst out there who covers the team and he doesn't think Mac Jones is very good. It's
right.
Essentially what Rick Ballew in Jacksonville said. It's what pretty much everybody who's ever watched Mac Jones play kind of comes away with that opinion.
Except and, Kyle Shanahan. I don't know if Kyle Shanahan's ever said that or thought that.
Kyle Shanahan didn't sign him to be a starter. He don't like him that much.
No, but he signed him to be a backup, and he gave him $5 million guaranteed to be a backup, thinking that if something would happen to my quarterback, then you would have Mac Jones. He could have re-signed Josh Dobbs. He could have brought back Brandon Allen, but he didn't.
He's probably better than those guys, but I don't know why being better than those guys would make you swagger into a game like, he going to watch this. He going to show everybody. Like, I just don't. That's where I...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm coming from Mac Jones. Yes, he can be a high-level backup, but that's what he is, which therefore means he's not that good.
Well, now he's a starter. So,
but that's
for the next 4 weeks or so.
So circumstantial. The bottom that doesn't change who he is. The bottom line is for me, he's not that good. So I don't know why we would all swagger into New Orleans like we got this because their quarterback's not very good. Because neither is. The 49er quarterback.
Well, you don't know that. He's never played a real game under Kyle Shanahan.
We know
Shanahan,
more
so.
About him than we know about Spencer Rattler.
Who's won more games?
Yeah,
Mac Jones or Spencer Rattler?
He's played seven times more games.
Who would you rather have right now, this week, for the Niners? Would you rather have Spencer Rattler or Mac Jones?
Probably Mac Jones.
Right.
Probably,
so to say that Mac Jones is not a starter is disingenuous because
he's not.
But he's better than some starters in the league. He's better than Bryce Young. He's better than Spencer Rattler, just to name two off the top.
I mean, does Sala agree with you? Here's what he said about Rattler.
Right.
This quarterback, I'm telling y'all, he's going to be a household by the end of the year. This kid's pretty good. So he's a twitchy athlete. He's got a hell of an arm. He's very decisive in his decision-making as he goes through his progression. And he's accurate with the football. So they gave Arizona everything they could handle.
That's hilarious.
Why is it hilarious?
Because he is not that accurate. He was 27 for 46. He threw for 214 yards, which is not even 5 yards per throw.
You want to talk about Dink and Dunk City? But you have the stat about Spencer Rattler. I think he was first in the league in terms of expected catch percentage last week. Which means
he's throwing the ball like 1 yard away are catching the football.
No, it means his receivers are having a hard time with separation and dropping the ball, which is true. I don't know if you saw the game, but it's true.
Like, I saw the highlights, yeah.
Rattler wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. He wasn't awful. I would take Mac. But all I'm saying is I'm not waltzing into this game like, yeah, we got Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones has shown himself in 4 years in terms of starting quarterback in the NFL to be below average. I don't know who the hell in the world wouldn't think that. Who doesn't think that?
He is above what you're going to face in Spencer Rattler. And so for one game, I'm not saying that Mac Jones is going to supplant Brock Purdy.
Yeah, he's got to beat the Saints defense, not Spencer Rattler.
Sure, but there's a reason why Kyle Shanahan went out of his way on day one of free agency to sign him, because he thinks that he's probably better than below average, at least as a backup, certainly.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.